RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo urged to issue capres on Asian Games. KPK confiscates Singapore dollars from arrested legislator. Married in a person, fishery minister to extend moratorium on ex-foreign ships. Now the news in detail. The government is urged to immediately issue a presidential decree or capres on the 2018 Asian Games as a legal basis for the event's organization committee. Without the capres, Indonesia as the host of Asian Games will not be able to negotiate changes of several articles in the host city contract. Indonesian Olympic Committee co-chairwoman Rita Subowo said the Indonesian objected to several articles in the contract and sought to negotiate some changes. According to Rita, the contract that was signed with the Olympic Council of Asia, OCA, in Incheon, South Korea last September, stipulated that the time for the event's preparation was 7 to 8 years, while Indonesia only had 3 years and 6 months to get ready. Rita has said recently some of the issues to be negotiated are the funding and promotion and broadcasting of Asian Games. If the organizing committee has been officially formed, it can negotiate the host city contract. Meanwhile, Alwi Asagab, deputy assistant for the sport at the Coordinating Human Development and Culture Minister, said the capres is being finalized. Acting deputy chief of the Croatian Education Commission, KPK, Johan Budi, said at the KPK building in Jakarta on Friday that KPK has confiscated amount of money in Singapore dollars for an arrested legislator in Bali province. John confirmed that the one arrested was a member of the House of the Representatives DPR. John said he cannot yet ascertain who he or she is, but for sure KPK believes that he or she is a DPR member who was arrested at 10 p.m. local time in Sanur, Bali. Johan Budi cannot either yet ascertain the amount of the confiscated money and whether the arrest was also made on others. Johan noted KPK has not yet received information about this and will later clarify it. The arrested lawmaker is still on the way to the KPK building. According to information, the arrested legislator is a member of the Indonesian Democratic Party of Sagel PDIP, representing South Kalimantan 2 constituents. He said that KPK would carry out examination on the arrested legislator for 1x24 hours before a suspect status is to be decided. Married in a purse and fishery minister Susi Pujastuti said that she would extend the moratorium on ex-foreign ships for another 6 months on April 30th. She told Tempo the moratorium is extended because some ex-foreign ships permits are still violating Indonesian regulations. She pointed out that most of the ships were without official papers and using trawlers while operating, thus inflicting damage to the environment. She added some of the ships also employed foreign crew. She said some others did a markdown and turn off their vehicle monitoring system, VMS. Separately, anti-illegal fishing task force deputy head Yunus Hussein said 887 of the total 1,132 exporting ships had been disqualified for failing to abide by administrative laws and operational regulations. He said some ships, for example, have no VMS and paper, I should say proper papers, acting that a prudential regulation would be necessary to back the planned moratorium. Ahmad Baiguni, the CEO of the state-owned bank Negara Indonesia BNI, said that urgent need for the financing of infrastructure projects had drawn the attention of foreign banks to participate in the projects. He said after a hearing with the House lawmaker recently, the foreign banks that would like to provide the financing could actually become partners for an infrastructure bank. Ahmad said the partnership would keep the foreign banks from owning the project 100%. And that the stance of infrastructure banks had now become more crucial for infrastructure financing, which commercial banks could not attempt to complete yet. He said it's because the sources of funds of infrastructure banks are different from those of commercial banks. Earlier, Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that infrastructure project financing had been facing hurdles due to limited funds from the government and the lack of enthusiasm of state-owned enterprises in working on the projects. The National Coding Institution, LSN, has installed hundreds of signal jamming devices across several locations in Bandung West Java ahead of the much-anticipated Asian African Conference AAC anniversary event to take place from April 18 until 24, 2015. The move was made to minimize the risk of espionage attempts on local and foreign dignitaries and members of their delegations to unauthorized parties. LSN Chief Major General Joko Setiadi said at Merdeka Palace in Jakarta recently, "This event will impart a lot of foreign dignitaries, and that his side needs to step up security measures to prevent the leakage of classified information to other parties." Several locations that had been secured include hotels, conference rooms, and several areas designated as a gathering spot for local and foreign dignitaries. LSN has even given special anti-budging devices for President Joko Widodo to ensure the confidentiality of his communication throughout the conference. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. State Airport Operator PT Angkasa Pura 1 AP1, overseeing airport in the Indonesian central and eastern part, is beefing up security in the wake of a security breach incident at Sultan Syarif Kasim II Airport in Pekanbaru, Riau. AP1 Corporate Communication Head Hendy Hairunitiawan told the Tempo recently, "Although it is not under the operational territory, this incident that a man identified as Mario Stephen Ambarita breached into the runway of the airport on Tuesday, which was managed by Angkasa Pura 2 AP2. Then he hit in the wheel of a Garuda Indonesia Airlines flying to Jakarta. Hendy said his company has stepped up security measures in the runways of the airports under AP1's management, adding that several AP1 airports had been equipped with multi-layer security facilities. Indonesian Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel said that he put a lot of faith in the number of integrated logistic areas, which he hoped could help the nation trim its logistic costs to sharpen its competitive edge in both domestic and international markets. Minister Rahmat said Indonesia is now the country with the largest logistic cost in the ASEAN region. He said the situation would pose problems to Indonesia, especially after the much-anticipated ASEAN Economic Community to be launched on October 31, 2015. Meanwhile, Ipan Kamajaya, the CEO of PT Kamajaya Logistics, said on the same occasion that Cibitung Kailot Park would function as an integrated logistic hub that could curb logistic costs. He believed that bringing down logistic costs was valuable as long as all processing was done under the same roof. He said loading time at the port would also be faster as there were 26 docks available. He said it will waste no more time and cash and save up to 20% of loading time. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, accompanied by Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Ian Fajir, received 46 Japanese business people from the Japanese Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Kendanren, in Jakarta on Tuesday. 18 from the 46 business people are leaders of large companies in Japan. Spokesperson of the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, to Erie World Service Voice of Indonesia said the visit of the Kendarin members to Indonesia was a follow-up of President Joko Widodo's visit to Japan recently.
Ya, hari ini Ibu Menlu bertemu dengan
the foreign minister met with the members of the Kendarin Japan's Chamber of Commerce. There were 46 business people from Japan and one of them are 18 CEOs of big companies. Basically, the meeting was followed at a visit made by the president some time ago. On the occasion, the minister emphasized the message delivered by the president that Indonesia is very welcome to the Japanese entrepreneurs. Their presence in Indonesia demonstrated the confidence of the Japanese businessmen to Indonesia. Furthermore, Armanata Nasir asserted that the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, also invited members of the Kendarin to attend the World Economic Forum East Asia and the Asian African Business Summit to take place in Jakarta from 19th until 22nd April 2015. According to Armanata Nasir, Minister Retno welcomed the willingness of Japanese business people who want to make Indonesia as its production base for the ASEAN market and foreign market. After visiting the Minister of Foreign Affairs, members of Kendarin Japan make a visit to the Minister of Industry. On the occasion, the Minister of Industry, Salih Hussein, said Kendarin's visits to Indonesia is a good opportunity for the Japanese entrepreneurs to see the dynamics of Indonesian economy as well as cooperation opportunities in the field of economy, trade, and investment. The government of Indonesia has set a priority development in various sectors such as infrastructure development, power plant, maritime export-oriented industrialization, as well as the acceleration of development in some regions across Indonesia. The last item, all preparation of the commemoration of the 60th anniversary of Asian African Conference to take place from April 19th until 24th in Jakarta and Bandung, West Java, are almost completed. This was stated by the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, in a press conference in Jakarta on Thursday. According to Minister Retno, almost all government agencies responsible for the commemoration, such as the Minister of State Secretariat, which is responsible for the summit, also have almost completed their preparations.
Kan persiapan itu kan ada dua ya. Jadi ada persiapan logistik non substansi, ada persiapan substansi. Kalau kita sih dengan
there are two kinds of preparation. Non-substantive logistic preparation and the substance preparation. All documents were completed. Most of our preparation are done because the result of the preparations are the protocol things. We cannot prepare all due to the up and down number of the attendance. I think the non-substantial preparation is the responsibility of the Minister of State Secretariat. And I think the preparation of the presentation are almost completed.
Negara untuk KTT dan saya kira persentase persiapannya juga sudah hampir selesai.
Meanwhile, Minister Retno said the discussion of various topics in the United Nations Secretariat in New York related to the commemoration of the Asian African Conference had been finished for about 70%. The result of the discussion will be three important documents, namely Bandung Message, Declaration on reintegrating new Asian African strategy partners, as well as the Declaration on Palestine. Previously, Minister Retno asserted that a part of the commemoration of the 60th anniversary of the Asian African Conference, there will be meetings of senior officials, ministerial level, and the level of heads and state or government, and a meeting of Asian African business summits, which will be attended by 600 leaders of the world. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled Contraproductive Visit by Greek Prime Minister to Russia. Amid the threat of bankruptcy and without financial assistance from Europe, Greece is trying to get close with Russia. Greek Alexis Tsipras made controversial visit to Russia and met with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow on Wednesday 8th. April of local time. Certainly, Prime Minister Tsipras' visit poses public criticism because he made the visit at the exact day of the deadline for payment of his country's debt worth around €448 million to International Monetary Fund IMF on Thursday. Greece involved a tough negotiation with European Union, EU and IMF to unblock the bailout package and could run out money within several weeks. Previously, some officials in Athens had been eyeing Russia as an alternative source for the financial aid needed by Greece. To get sympathy from Russia ahead of his visit, Prime Minister Tsipras sought inconsistent stance towards European Union's standpoint on the crisis of Ukraine. Left-wing politicians inside this side did not agree with the European Union sanctions against Russia for the involvement of Russia in Ukraine. Prime Minister Tsipras is known to be close to Moscow, so his short trip to Russia made European Union concerned. To Russian news agency TASS, Prime Minister Tsipras even said that Greece does not agree with the sanctions imposed by European countries against Russia. Greece supports the view that there is a need for dialogue and diplomacy. To find a solution to a major problem, related parties should negotiate on one table. The question is whether Prime Minister Tsipras will get financial aid from Russia as it expects. The answer is yes or no. Yes, because Russia at this time is excommunicated by the European countries that impose sanctions on which Russia needs moral support from members of the European countries, as done by Greece. However, the amount of financial aid may not be too much. No, because economic miseries suffered by Russia due to European Union sanctions and its allies will make Prime Minister Tsipras' maneuver limit to obtain major funding assistance from Moscow. Russia will not be able to replace the position of European Union for Greece to get a major aid. Then how is the European Union? Obviously, European Union does not agree with what Tsipras is doing. President of the European Parliament, Martin Schulz, asked Prime Minister Tsipras not to undermine the European Union measures over the sanctions against Russia. Actually, Greece got a lot of solidarity from the European Union. To reply to it, Greece must also show his solidarity, and the solidarity does not end unilaterally by withdrawing itself from jointly agreed commitment. Without disbursing the fund, Athens will run out of money until 20th of April. If bankrupt Greece is threatened to get out from the Eurozone, a situation that could lead to instability in the region. Remembering Russia is in tension with European Union because of the conflict in Ukraine, the Greece effort is considered to improve its bargaining power in negotiating a loan. The steps carried by Prime Minister Tsipras are deemed counterproductive. Being close with Russia in the current heating political situation could be considered a provocation. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1815. The Mount Tambora volcano begins a three-month-long eruption, lasting until July the 15th. The eruption ultimately kills 71,000 people and affects Earth's climate for the next 2 years. Mount Tambora, or Tamboro, is an active stratovolcano which is a peninsula of the island of Sumbawa, Indonesia. Sumbawa is flanked both to the north and south by oceanic crust, and Tambora was formed by the active subduction zone beneath it. This raised Mount Tambora as high as 4,300 meters, making it, in the 18th century, one of the tallest peaks in the Indonesian archipelago. After a large magma chamber inside the mountain filled over the course of several decades, volcanic activity reached a historic climax in the eruption of April the 10th, 1815. With an estimated ejective volume of 160 cubic kilometers, Tambora's 1815 outburst is the largest volcanic eruption in recorded history. The explosion was heard on Sumatra Island, more than 2,000 kilometers away. Heavy volcanic ash falls were observed as far as Borneo, Sulawesi, Jawa, and Maluku Islands. Most deaths from the eruption were from starvation and disease, as the eruptive fallout ruined agricultural productivity in the local region. The death toll was at least 71,000 people, of whom 11,000 until 12,000 were killed directly by the eruption, and the often cited figure of 92,000 people killed is believed to be overestimated. The eruption caused global climate anomalies that included the phenomenon known as volcanic winter. 1916 became known as the year without a summer because of the effect on North American and European weather. Crops failed and livestock died in much of the Northern Hemisphere, resulting in the worst famine in the 19th century. During an excavation in 2004, a team of archaeologists discovered cultural remains buried by the 1815 eruption. They were kept intact beneath the 3 meters deep pyroclastic deposits at the site, dubbed the Pompeii of the East. The artifacts were preserved in the position they had occupied in 1815. So, that was actually 200 years ago. And today, people in Tambora are calling the world for what we call the commemoration of the Mount Tambora eruption. And next is Joseph Pulitzer, who was born also on April 10, 1847. Joseph Pulitzer is original Hungarian, and he was a Hungarian-born American newspaper publisher of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and the New York World. Pulitzer introduced the techniques of new journalism to the newspapers he acquired in the 1880s. He became a leading national figure in the Democratic Party and was elected congressman from New York. He crusaded against big business and corruption and helped keep the Statue of Liberty in New York. In the 1890s, the fierce competition between his work and William Randolph Hearst's New York Journal caused both to use yellow journalism for wider appeal. It opened the way to mass circulation newspapers that depended on advertising revenue and appealed to readers with multiple forms of news, entertainment, and advertising. Today, he is best known for the Pulitzer Prizes, which were established in 1917 by money he bequeathed to Columbia University to recognize artistic and journalistic achievements. The prizes are given annually to award achievements in journalism and photography, as well as literature and history, poetry, music, and drama. Pulitzer founded the Columbia School of Journalism by his philanthropic bequest. It opened in 1912, and Pulitzer passed away on October 29, 1911. So that was Today in History. Over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Focus. Today we'll talk about Indonesian handicrafts should be number one in the world. Listener, Indonesian handicrafts must be able to compete with other countries and further to be the best. President Joko Widodo, when opening typical Indonesian handicraft, the 17th Inacraft 2015 in Jakarta on Wednesday, claimed that he wanted craft products from Indonesia are capable to reach number one in the global market. According to President, currently Indonesia ranked 12 after China, Italy, Germany, the US, France, Netherlands, Belgium, Japan, the United Kingdom, Vietnam, and India. President Joko Widodo also said he saw quite a big interest in the international market because of the quality of goods is very good. According to President, Inacraft, the most prestigious exhibition for the type of craft in Indonesia. In the future, the participants should be selected strictly so that product quality is still maintained and interested by large people. President Joko Widodo assessed, to compete at the global level and open market, there are several factors that affect it. In addition to the design, color, and packaging must also be in accordance with the taste of the market. President Moreover suggested that craft businessmen should invite designers from abroad to make the design could be adapted to the wishes of the international market. The president stressed the importance of the role of the Creative Economy Agency related to the design and packaging of the products. Creative Economy Agency would later play a role for the matters relating to the design, packaging, marketing. It depends on the Minister of Trade. Chairman of the Association of Exporters and Producers of Indonesian Handicraft, ASAP, Bustami Tamrin, said Inacraft 2015, followed by 1,600 participants from all regions in the country, such as craftsmen, businessmen or manufacturers, and exporters of handicrafts. According to Tamrin, the exhibition that presenting handicrafts of each region is expected to attract 1,000 buyers from overseas and 200,000 visitors in the country. Tamrin Bustami explained, the handicraft products are among others woven cloth, songket, wood crafts, and ceramics. He added, Inacraft last year, retail sales transactions reached $117.6 billion. Meanwhile, the Director General of Export Development Ministry of Trade, Nus Nuzulia Ishak, said, Inacraft exhibition become a valuable opportunity for the creative industry activator in the face of Indonesian Handicraft ASEAN Economic Community of MEA. The Ministry of Trade continues to increase competitiveness through product development and marketing and through the 2015 Inacraft Creative Industries and Handicrafts can promote and market their products. The Ministry of Trade hope through Inacraft the performance of national export will continue to show improvement and export products will be more creative, innovative, and diverse, so it would support the uniqueness of Indonesian handicraft products in the world market. Listener, that was Focus.
Here are the headlines of several national newspapers published today, Friday, April 10, 2015. I'm Dalat Pani. Tempo writes, disagreement between the chairperson of the Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle, PDIP, Megawati Soekarnoputri, and President Joko Widodo about how to run the country. In her speech when opening PDIP Congress in Sanur, Bali, Megawati said that it was reasonable for the president and vice president to take the party's political policy as it was in line with the people's need. Megawati Soekarnoputri also advised President Jokowi to fulfill his campaign promises during the presidential election. President Jokowi responded to the statement by saying that the statement was very good and a leader must serve the people. Republika writes, Mega warns Jokowi. Megawati Soekarnoputri reminds Jokowi to be wary of a stowaway who became the supporters during the campaign. President Jokowi became the spotlight in the opening speech of PDIP. In the opening speech of PDIP chairperson Megawati Soekarnoputri during the fourth PDIP Congress in Bali recently. Besides reminding Jokowi about his duties as the president who brought the party, Megawati also cautioned the politicization of the government efforts. Meanwhile, President Jokowi, who attended the opening of the Congress, gave positive response to the speech. According to Jokowi, Megawati reminded him to be the servant of the people. However, Jokowi denied the existence of communications runs between the government and political parties. Sindo newspaper also writes a similar thing. Megawati reminded Jokowi's sacred promise. In the opening speech of the fourth PDIP Congress in Sanur, Bali, Megawati requested Jokowi to be blended with the people and loyal to the constitution. Megawati also reminded Jokowi to be stick to the constitution as the guidance of the state. According to Megawati, Jokowi also should pay you off campaign promises because the campaign promises are a sacred tie with the people. Compass Daily writes, foreign exchange transactions is put in order to push rupiah stabilization. Bank Indonesia curbs the use of foreign currency in transactions in the country so that the exchange rate is more stable. Currently, there is an average of $6 billion per month which should be used rupiah. The obligation to use rupiah for all transactions in the country outside the excluded transaction is set in the law on currency. The implementation of the rule is reinforced by Bank Indonesia regulation on the liability use of rupiah in the territory of the Unitary Republic of Indonesia. Well, listener, that was today's headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
The government is urged to immediately sue a presidential decree or caprice on the 2018 Asian Games as a legal basis for Defense Organization Committee. Acting Deputy Chief of the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK, Johan Budi, said at the KPK building in Jakarta on Friday that KPK has confiscated amount of money in Singapore dollars from an arrested legislator in Bali province. Johan confirmed that the one arrested was a member of the House of the Representatives DPR. Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujiastuti said that she would extend the moratorium on exporting ships for another 6 months on April 30th. She told Tempo the moratorium is extended because some exporting ships permits are still violating Indonesian regulations. Ahmad Baikuni, the CEO of the state-owned bank Negara Indonesia BNI, said the urgent need for the financing of infrastructure projects had drawn attention of foreign banks to participate in the projects. The National Coding Institution, LSN, has installed hundreds of signal jamming devices across several locations in Bandung, West Java, ahead of the much-anticipated Asian-African Conference, AAC, anniversary event to take place from April 18th until 24th, 2015. State Airport Operator Pertti Angkasa Pura 1, AP1, overseeing airport in the Indonesian central and eastern part, is beefing up security in the wake of security breach incident at Sultan Syarif Kasim II Airport in Pekanbaru, Riau. Indonesian Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel said that he put a lot of faith in a number of integrated logistic areas, which he hoped could help the nation trim its logistic costs to sharpen its competitive edge in both domestic and international markets. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, accompanied by Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Ian Fajir, received 46 Japanese business people from the Japanese Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Kendaran, in Jakarta on Thursday. All preparation at the commemoration of the 60th anniversary of the Asian-African Conference to take place from April 19 until 24 in Jakarta and Bandung, West Java are almost completed. This was stated by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in a press conference in Jakarta on Thursday. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It's a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I invite you to travel to Yogyakarta. So stay with us at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Listener, April 9 is celebrated as the anniversary of Indonesian Air Force. 69 years ago, on April 9, 1946 to be exact, the Air Force has been established at the same time with the establishment of the Indonesian Air Force or TRI in accordance with the Government Decision No. 6/SD 1946. Therefore, in this edition, we invite you to visit the Air Force Mandala Dirgantara Museum. In this museum, you can see the complete history of the Indonesian Air Force. Mandala Dirgantara Museum is located in the complex of the Indonesian Air Force Adi Sucipto Airport in Yogyakarta. It is 10 kilometers from the city center and about 5 kilometers from Adi Sucipto Airport. The museum is open every day with the admission fee of 3,000 rupees per person or less than 50 US cents. Visiting the Air Force Museum, you will be greeted by some fighters and transport aircrafts which are on display in the museum. One of the latest collection of this museum is a fighter type EA-4 Skyhawk on display in front of the museum building. When you enter the museum building, you will be greeted by a statue of four figures Air Force pilot. They are the Air Vice Marshal Postmos Agustinus Adi Sucipto, Air Vice Marshal Postmos Abdul Halim Perdana Kusuma, and the Air Vice Marshal Postmos Iswah Yudi. The Air Force pilots were designated as national heroes and immortalized as the name of the airport in various cities in Indonesia. The building of Mandala Dirgantara Museum has several showrooms. One is Chronology Space 1. In this room, you can see photos and information relating to the history of the establishment of the Indonesian Air Force. For example, the first flight aircraft, the Red and White, in retaliation for the Netherlands attack mission on October 27, 1945. The establishment of the first flight school in Maguwo, the founding of the Air Force on April 9, 1946, as well as a variety of air resistance against the Dutch military aggression. This room also exhibits a variety of radio and photos show the fight for the freedom of the country. In the next room are displayed various types of uniforms worn by the Air Force personnel, including combat clothing, everyday uniforms, and the clothing for flight. Entering the next room is the room for main weapon system. You will be amazed by the weapons which were ever used by the Air Force. Defense equipment includes fighter and transport aircrafts, the model aircraft engines, the airspace radar monitors, as well as long-distance weapons like missiles. There are about 10 aircrafts as the collection of the museum, ranging from aircraft made by America, Europe, up to domestic aircrafts. One of the tactical fighter, which is quite famous, P-51 Mustang aircraft made in the United States. Historically, this aircraft has been used in various operations to maintain the Indonesia's integrity.
Other aircraft that is not less interesting is the British-built aircraft, the name Famfire, the H-115 type. This aircraft is the first jet aircraft flown in Indonesia in 1956 by Lieutenant Air Force Leo Watimena. Besides just taking a look on the aircraft, you can also go out to several planes and are permitted to ride. Even you can also hire a pilot and start skills in the plane like a real pilot. In the museum, there is also a simulated vehicle to fly a plane. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Air Force Mandala Dirgantara Museum. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, meet again with me, Daulat Pane, in today's Miscellany. In this edition, I invite you to get to know a woman named Dewi Sartika. For some people in Indonesia, Dewi Sartika's name may only be known as the street name. But actually, Dewi Sartika is one of heroines who fought for women's education in Indonesia, especially in the city. The woman who was born in Bandung, West Java, is a noble descent who cares about... The woman who was born in Bandung, West Java, is a noble descent who cared about education development. Dewi Sartika founded the first school for women in Bandung during the colonial period. In the era of colonialism, education was not the main thing that must be considered by the Indonesian woman. Women were more prepared as housewives. This made Dewi Sartika got concerned. As a noble woman, Dewi Sartika also experienced the same thing about the education. Since childhood, Dewi Sartika already had a desire to teach all the things she knew to children around her. During that time, Dewi Sartika taught reading and writing in Indonesian and Dutch languages to children around her. This made the regent shocked when he heard the children could speak, read, and also wrote the Dutch language. Her soul that had grown increasingly led her to realize her idols. This was driven also by his uncle, the regent, Martanagara, who had the same desire. But even though they had the same desire, it did made Dewi Sartika could immediately realize her idols. On 1906, Dewi Sartika married to Raden Kanduruan Aga Suryawinata. From the marriage, she had a son named Art Atot,
the head of BIVB, a football club which is the front runner for Persib Bandung. The tradition and custom which striped women at that time made her uncle having trouble and worry. However, due to the persistence and passion which never subsided, Dewi Sartika was finally able to convince her uncle and allowed her to set up schools for girls. On January 16, 1904, Dewi Sartika finally opened a Sakola Istri, or school for women, after consultation with R.A. Martanegara. The school was the first school for women to stand in the Dutch East Indies and had three teachers, Dewi Sartika, Purwa, and Nyi Owit. In the following years, in some areas of West Java, some Sakola Istri were established, especially those managed by Sundanese women who had the same idols with Dewi Sartika. In 1912, there were 9 Sakola Istri, or school for women, in half of the entire city of West Java. Entering the age of 10, in 1914, the name of the school was changed to Sakola Kautaman Istri, or the virtue school for women. Because of her devotion to the nation, in her efforts to elevate women to a better level, then the government presented an awards and honors to Raden Dewi Sartika. Sartika died on September 11, 1947 in Tasikmalaya, West Java, and buried in a simple funeral ceremony at the Cigagadon Rahayu Cemetery, Cineam District. 3 years later, she was reburied in Bandung Region Funeral Complex in Jalan Karanganyar, Bandung Regency. Well, listener, that was Miss Lani.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today's segment of Music Corner will present to you two trio macan group who have enlivened the Indonesian dangdut music industry. To initiate today's Music Corner, let's listen to a song entitled Cicilang from Trio Macan. Enjoy the song.
Obat kasmaran, hey teman ini tentera. kasmaran. Hey, teman ini
Listener, Trio Macan is a group of vocal consisted of Lia Amelia, Chacha Sally, and Eva Novanda, who popular through a song SMS. But the song was claimed that has been sung by Lia Amelia, a singer from Padang, West Sumatra. Aside from controversy that obstacled Trio Macan in their early career, the Lady Trio has successfully proven their talent by gaining Best Dangdut Award at the MTV Indonesia 2006. On the occasion, Trio Macan defeated a number of other dangdut singers. Besides the song SMS, their first album also consisted of two old beautiful songs that owned by Nicky Astria, namely Jarum Neraka and Tangan Tangan Setan, as well as Rindu Berat. Well, listener, now let's take to listen the coming song by Trio Macan, Suka Sama Kamu. Happy listening. Dear listener, in mid-2007, Trio Macan again launched their second album entitled Aku Punya Nama with a special song, Sexy. Not only singing, Trio Macan also tries to their luck in acting world by starring a TV film, Dawai Asmara. In mid-April 2009, Trio Macan released their first debut movie of horror with the theme Darah Janda Kolong Wewe. In 2010, they played in a film entitled Hantu Puncak Datang Bulan. In 2011, Trio Macan changed their personnel. Eva Novanda resigned and was changed by Lia Amelia. In 2012, Trio Macan begged to launch an album and single Iwak Peye, Buka Sitik Jos, and Oplosan. The album begged to popularize the name of Trio Machan amidst a rising of newcomer singers in dangdut genre music. Well, listener, to conclude today's segment of Music Corner, let's listen to two songs entitled Iwak Peye and Sakit Hati. Here are the song. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.